This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. And getting ready to join us in studio right now is the documentarian who produced and directed Gone Girls, the Long Island serial killer on Netflix, which is right now the number one out of the Netflix top 10, which is awesome. And this, of course, is a case and a story that is close to us, having grown up on Long Island and doing the radio show here. I remember the day that they went and arrested Rex Huerman. We were live on the air. It was amazing. And that's Liz Garbus. Liz, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the success of this. It is something that, of course, locally is a big deal, but it seems like it's captured the attention nationally. And these stories tend to, but in the way that you told this is different than maybe some of these other serial killer documentaries, because you wanted to make sure that the victims and their families were at the center of this, because in a lot of these cases, especially when we're talking about, you know, sex workers and the police looking for them, they don't get the same type of attention that the soccer mom in the suburbs would. So that was important to you, yes?
That was really what drew me to the case. I mean, you know, as you said, the soccer mom, the college student who goes missing while on spring break, you know, the world pays attention and you know, the forces are deployed, you know, to find out every scrap of evidence. Here there are young women going missing and their sisters couldn't get them on the National Missing Persons Registry, you know, so that they would cross-check different jurisdictions. So you had families that were in a lot of pain and, you know, cops would tell them things like, you know, they'll come back, they'll show up. But, you know, these are people where it's like, no, I was supposed to see her Wednesday and she hasn't called, right? Just the same way if you had a friend who didn't show up on Wednesday, you would know something was wrong. They knew something was wrong with their sister. But there are all these assumptions that are made about these women that, you know, in most cases just didn't bear out.
Yeah, and, you know, the way that this started is truly amazing, because we still don't know exactly what happened to Shannon Gilbert. And Shannon Gilbert, of course, and her mother Mary, and the demands and being keeping her name in the news and making sure that News 12 and the Long Island Press and Newsday and everybody was still talking about her, you know, put the pressure on the police department at the time to go search for her, and there's the Gilgo 4. I mean, I don't think there's any case like that in the country. And then still to this day, her, you know, she's there, was the key to finding the other bodies, but we still don't know what happened to her.
We have no resolution for her family. And, you know, Is it a conspiracy theory of, like, it is involved with Rex's case and there are people in the community there who know about it? Or is it a coincidence? I mean, there are many people in law enforcement who I talk to who say, this is a different story, right? This is a young woman who went out there with a driver. That's different from the others. She called 911. She was on the phone with the police. That's different from the others. If you're a practiced serial killer and you want to keep going, you're going to not pursue her, right? There are different, really different circumstances. But at the same time, there's so much that connects her. She was working on Craigslist. She's the same type, build. It's the same time frame, and it's right next door. And you're asking me to believe that she went running, took her clothes off, ran into the middle of the march, and just expired.
At a young age.
It's hard to know where to put your eggs in what basket.
You know, the amazing thing is, Liz, living on the South Shore like we do, and we know Ocean Parkway, we know Gilgo, we know the area. For years, we grew up and we were over there on the beaches, and you could see the denseness of everything that's around there, growing there, and how these women could go missing like this and never be found. And then to find this one body, and also, you know, I mean, these four bodies that leads back. I mean, for you as the documentarian, I'm just wondering, was it difficult to get answers that you were looking for? Were people stonewalling you, or were there people that were really trying to help you?
Both. So I started work, you know, as a filmmaker on this story back in 2015. There was a book called Lost Girls that Bob Kolker wrote that reported on all the families of Shannon and the Gilgo Four. This was before the case was solved. We made a movie for Netflix, a scripted movie, before the case was solved, based on Mary's story, her advocacy, and the community of families that came together to demand answers in this case. So I was walking around there in Oak Beach and Gilgo through those, you know, at that time before the case was solved. Little did I know, during that time at Suffolk County, there was a corrupt administration. There were so many theories going around. Oh, the cops are in on this. It turns out, there's no proof of that, but it turns out the cops were in on something, because under the leadership of Jimmy Burke, who is now a convicted felon, there was a major cover-up and conspiracy going on, and they really took their eyes off the ball of this case. When I came back to the case after Heuermann was arrested, there were a lot of people who were willing to talk and give answers. There was a new administration there, yes. New police chief, new DA. It was a new day.
Yeah, and that's something, a distinction here that I want to make clear. You know, the Suffolk County Police Department right now and District Attorney Ray Tierney are doing a tremendous job. Commissioner Catalina, it's a different time. Suffolk County with James Burke was a wild, crazy time. And I guess if we could jump around, I got a million questions for you, but like, why was Jimmy Burke so against the FBI coming in and helping with this case? Was it because he was so against it to the point that people were making him a suspect? Was it just because he didn't want them poking around because he had so many crazy illegal things going on?
Yeah, well, I want to answer that, but I want to respond to your first point because it's really important. Like, Suffolk County, it is a new day there. And Ray Tierney, the DA, I mean, case in point, when there was a new administration in there, they formed the Gilgo Task Force. It took them 6 weeks to come up with the name, okay? That work could have been done under Jimmy Burke, right?
Yeah.
So there is a new administration in there, and that's good news for Suffolk County.
Maybe somebody else wouldn't have died after the fact, you know, if they would have gotten on it earlier and done what they were supposed to do. I agree with, I think, the assumption that we're making here is that because of the corruption that was in the previous group, that they didn't want anybody else around them finding anything else out that had nothing to do with this.
That's right. Commissioner Dormer was the first commissioner who got the case after he retired. And they were collaborating with the FBI. When he retired and D.A. Spoda appointed Burke, they shut out the FBI. They went into very kind of basic policing tactics, like not wanting to deal with all the fancy bells and whistles. And I think that was partially because they didn't want the FBI investigating them.
How maddening is that for you, covering all this?
I mean, I can only imagine how the families feel when they think about a decade went going by, and then it took 6 weeks under new leadership.
Yeah, and we're talking to Liz Garbus, Gone Girls, Netflix documentary, Gilgo Beach Murders. And, I mean, it's amazing. So when the description, you know, ogre-like and this first edition Chevy Avalanche. I mean, that right there. And then the fact that we're talking commuter, Massapequa. I mean, it was right there on a platter. Now, we don't know if there were other victims, at least up until this point, after that whole encounter had gone on. But, I mean, chances are there were, with the way that Rex was bouncing around and all different sorts of things. But it was, I used to perceive this case that he was never going to get caught, because it was like, it didn't make any sense. You know, there's body parts here, there's body parts there. It could be 15 different people. In the end, it was right there in front of everybody, but no one wanted to really look at it until the task force.
That's right. So they were able to track the burner phones that the young woman were using and figure out pretty early on that there was, you know, something called the Massapequa box, that a lot of the pings were going there. And then there were also a lot of pings in Midtown Manhattan. So they developed a theory really early on that he was a commuter from that area, Massapequa area, to Manhattan. And then, as you mentioned, there was another, when Amber Costello went missing, her roommate saw a guy who had been rough with her on a date before. And he described the car, the Chevy Avalanche, and he described the physique of this man that was quite unusual. Mm-hmm. You know, big ogre, like more than 6 feet. So you had a lot of information that when Tierney and co. took over, they could work on.
Yeah, and of course, DNA is a huge deal. I see the defense attorney, you know, talking about how this is new technology and new DNA, and that's going to be their thing with Rex Heuermann. It just makes me sick. There's enough evidence, I'm sure, that she's going to be convicted. But the DNA story is amazing as well, because of the pizza box and the crust. I mean, that's straight out of a scripted movie. But I mean, they had all that there, and all they needed was to get that pizza box and that cross. They were able to do it. Do you think that there's any chance that this defense attorney can poke holes into that DNA part of it, like he's trying to do in the news?
Look, they'll always try to poke holes on it. I've sat on lots of trials where, you know, defense attorneys and prosecutors will poke holes in DNA evidence, just as they should. That's their job. But, you know, this DNA technology has been used in lots of courts, and it stood up a lot. So I think they have a pretty good case. They also have a lot of other evidence. I mean, the stuff that they found on his computer.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's stuff that we don't know about, too. You know, when I started working on this documentary, he was charged with the murders of three women, you know, a person of interest in a fourth. Now it's seven. This is still an evolving case. As we all know, there are a lot of women who are missing or, you know, remains have been found in Long Island. And, you know, there are a lot of questions about how big this case will get.
Any idea how long he's been doing this for, or how long they think he's been doing it for?
Well, really, tragically, we know his first victim was 1993, the first one he's charged with.
Wow.
Right. And then there's a gap of
10 years,
at least 10. Yes. 10 years. So what are we thinking? He just stopped for 10 years?
No, there's got to be more in there, you would think. It just makes sense that there would be more victims there. But in terms of, what are you hearing about Rex Heuermann himself? He's not helping, of course. He's trying to defend himself, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's helping. I mean, I think that the wife and the kids have been spotted going in and out. You know, sometimes she's there for him, sometimes she's not. You know, I think he... I don't know. I can't, you know, when you think about these guys, it's like, to me, like, who can understand that? There's no way. We try. There's no way to understand a brain, like a mind like this.
Yeah, I will say, though, in seeing a lot of documentaries and following serial killer documentaries, as we talked to Liz Garbus, Gone Girls, you haven't seen it on Netflix, you absolutely have to watch it. A lot of these guys, I shouldn't say a lot, there have been guys like the Green River Killer that once they're caught and they're presented with this evidence, it's almost like they're proud to talk about it at that point. They just spill everything out there. The BTK killer is another one. And they just talk about it in plain terms. And I did this, and then I did that. So I was thinking, when presented with all that evidence, that Rex would at that point just be like, okay, you got me, let's talk about this, because part of him would be proud of it like others. And that hasn't happened to this point. So it's if there's going to be a trial with the trial without him pleading guilty, I mean, that's going to be a spectacle. And I'm not sure exactly when that is. Do you know when a trial is going to happen?
We don't know. We don't know. But it feels like they're making moves that it's on its way. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who clearly liked to flaunt his power over people, right? He made those taunting phone calls to some of the friends and family members. Some of the coworkers describe creepy things he did, like sending notes to them when they were on vacation, just like, I know where you are. He liked to have control and power over women. Is not pleading guilty a way to maintain power, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, it's amazing. I was reading an article about you in 2016. You were at dinner and you got the call that Mary had died. And that was something that was a little bit of an awakening moment for you. And I think back, when you think back to that dinner that night, what was that like for you and the emotions that went into that?
I mean, it was completely shocking. So Mary Gilbert is the mother of Shannon Gilbert, and she was killed tragically by her daughter, another, you know, obviously a different daughter who was suffering a mental health break. And there's no way to describe that. I mean, a reaction to that, it is the tragedy that has struck this family. You know, Cherie Gilbert is Shannon's sister, who I know still is fighting for justice for her sister. She lost her mother, her other sister's in prison.
I mean, that's a story in itself.
There's a lot of struggle there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you did a tremendous job of profiling the two sides of Rex, where they, you know, he would go on these family reunions and the family was completely shocked because he was, you know, like they called him Sweet Rex or something like that. He would organize these things and he was just just a totally different person. Of course, as you say, it's hard to profile these guys, but you know, there's a, I guess what's fascinating is to a lot of the serial killers, you know like a Ted Bundy maybe, or even some of the Green River killers, they have a way at first to maybe be charming enough to be trusted, and then all of a sudden, you know, the dark side comes out. I mean, it's almost like it's a technique of almost a wild animal that'll give you like a call and then wants to eat you. It's insane how the brain works with these monsters.
Did you see the video that we include in our documentary of the French guy interviewing Rex?
Yeah, of course, on YouTube, yeah.
I don't think he's very charming or he's got anything there. I'm just saying, let's not give him all that, right? Because, like, frankly, nothing. He just looks like this big zero. Like, there's that.
But
you know?
his family did talk about how, like,
that he was sweet.
Right,
but they
yeah.
also said, like, he lived like a filthy
right.
sicko, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They said they were totally disturbed by going to his house. So I think that, like, there's a lot of, like, of course he could be sweet sometimes, he could fake it. But they also, I mean, there are all these stories about him being inappropriate and with coworkers. I know he worked in a building of a friend. He was always overcharging them. Like, he would, like, come in for 5 minutes and then figure out a way to come in the next day so that he could bill for the travel time twice. They all got fed up and fired him. So, I don't know. I'm not going to give him all that credit.
Okay.
You know, it was amazing. You talk about that interview. That was the interview that we looked at that day that we found out about his name.
Right, yeah.
We were on the air when this happened, and they arrested Rex Uhrman, and Gio and I were able to find out his name. Well, we couldn't put it out there. And then we started going through the websites with this guy's name, and it's all up there, and you could see all of this. You could see all these interviews. And then all of a sudden, literally within a 45-minute period,
gone.
It was all gone. It was all gone because now his name had come out.
I was right there with you. I was screenshotting all of it.
Yeah.
And I was
like,
oh, my God, his daughter works with him. Oh, boy, like, what is this story going to be?
You know? Yeah. And the family, you know, and I know there's some hairs from the family, you know, found on some victims. They don't believe that the family was involved. It's just things that were transferred. And then also the timelines where it looks like they were gone for days, whether in Iceland or in other places, Atlantic City, where he had committed these murders. So, I mean, it's not as if he was, you know, killing these women and then coming home and eating dinner with his family. It did seem like there was a lot of the times that they had been gone, then he'd meet them later, and that's when he would kill.
And do you remember, in the first episode, there's a clip from Richard Dormer, who first got the case back in 2011 after they found Shannon Gilbert, and he said back then, if he's a family man and his family is probably away when he's doing these killings. I mean, they had so much information back then.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. Really.
So this story is not even close to an end yet. Do you still see more add on to your documentary, or is this an end point for you?
I don't know. Let's see. Let's see. You know, I'm going to be watching the trial like you, like all of us, and how much more we will learn. Obviously, there's been a lot of interest in this case. I love how viewers are coming to this, kind of how you guys started the conversation, like victims first, like thinking about these women and who they were. So if there's more that we can understand as we go through this trial, then maybe there's more.
Yeah, and there's like I said, I got 10 million questions. I'm going to bounce around. Another question I had for you in learning and producing this documentary, did the Spoda-Burke relationship, who, you know, Spoda the DA, Burke the police commissioner, when most of this corruption was going on, Spoda really have Jimmy Burke's back all those years just because of that when he testified in that first case that put him on the map, Spoda? Is that really the thing that just from that moment, or was there more to that story?
I mean, this is one of the most incredible things, to find footage of a 16-year-old Jimmy Burke with Spoda, who's then a grown man lawyer, and seeing them in an interrogation room together when Jimmy Burke, who's a juvenile, you know, kind of snitch, low-level drug guy, coming in and giving evidence on one of the most notorious cases in Long Island, the killing of a young boy who went out one night on his bike and never came home.
Pius,
Johnny Pius. And Jimmy Burke, a 16-year-old low-level drug dealer, comes in and gives the testimony that puts these other kids away. A lot of people want to go back and look at that case. I don't know that it's the one thing, but it set a relationship in motion of a collaboration between these two guys, which would really plague Suffolk County citizens.
Yeah, and then, you know, Steve Ballone, who we know was a Suffolk County executive for a very long time, you know, he comes in and, you know, I don't know how much blame he gets or not, but, you know, he gets Spoda, who at that time was still well regarded, you know, chirping him and saying, you got to get Jimmy Burke in there. You got to get Jimmy Burke in there. And Ballone's like, well, I mean, he's coming with this tremendous endorsement from Spoda, who everybody loves. And then Jimmy Burke gets, you know, goes up three or four ranks, which is unheard of, to police commissioner. And then all of a sudden, Steve Ballone's got this disaster on his hands that he's got to clean up.
Well, maybe if Ballone had talked to other folks in law enforcement about Jimmy Burke, he would not have, made that decision.
You think about where he came from to where he ascended to, that's corruption.
Oh.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about, you know, just as you're going through all the footage, and you must have had so much raw footage, how much was left on the floor?
Oh, I have no idea.
From your creative perspective, you obviously want to make something that's interesting for people to watch. And it's a very touchy subject. It's a very emotional subject for somebody like you that's putting it together. I'm just wondering, like, how do you get yourself through all of that to be able to put something like this that has become the number one show on Netflix? So congratulations for that. But unfortunately, it's a horrible story to tell.
It's a horrible story. But I was really happy to tell it, like, with the voices of the women first and forward. So that always gave us, like, a mantra of, or a raison d'etre of, like, how we're putting this together and how we're leading this story. We're not leading it with Rex. We're not leading with an investigation that wasn't actually happening. You know, that's what makes it, I think, feel different than a lot of other shows. And that kind of North Star was what got us through.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's amazing. It's a great documentary, and anybody who's interested in this, you know, and it's the first one, by the way, that is out there with the Rex Huerman arrest and all of that stuff. There's a million of them out there prior to that. And this is the first one that's got the full story. There was one, I forget who put it out, and I don't want to knock anybody, but there was one before he got caught. It was a Long Island serial killer documentary that I was so excited. I went in. I'm like, man, there's going to be some new stuff in here. And they were so lost on what was going on in the case that they changed the whole documentary to talk about how truck drivers could be serial killers and then dump bodies all over the country. And at that point, I said, they're never going to find this guy. They're never going to find him. But they found him. Thank God.
So thank God. Yeah.
Thank God for people like you who put something like this together. So, Liz, it was great to meet you, man. And congratulations on the success of your documentary.
Thanks so much for having me. And I got to give a shout out to Tommy Coryell, your number one fan.
Oh, all right, Tommy.
Okay, good.
Great meeting you, Liz. Congrats.
You.
Take care.
Hang on for a sec, Liz. We'll take a picture. Liz
Garbus, check out Gone Girls, Gilgo Beach Murders, the Long Island Serial Killer on Netflix.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back to another update and moment of the day. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we got two early day baseball games today. We've got the Mets and Marlins wrapping things up at 1:10. You've got the Yankees and Tigers at 1:10 as well. The Mets beating the Marlins into the early evening yesterday, 10-5. Pete Alonso with the big bases clearing double, had two doubles on the day and four RBIs. When he cleared the bases, it came after the Marlins had intentionally walked Juan Soto to load the bases. Here was Alonso on SNY. Any amped up any more when you saw that right in front of you?
No, I mean, I just wanted to get a pitch to hit, and thankfully I got one where I was looking, and I was able to capitalize.
I would say so, and he's capitalized a lot right now. Mets have won six in a row. They're 8-3. Here was Soto on why Alonso's been good so far.
I think he's been taking really good at-bats. He's been taking his walks and everything. He's not trying to be the hero. He's really settled down. When the moment's needed, whenever he get a pitch, he tried to drive it. If not, he's taking his walk, so I think that's a really good thing.
And it has worked out for sure. Starling Marte, Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, all providing offense as well. Tyler McGill and Max Meyer on 880.
Hey, Jerry, sorry if we're not paying attention to you right now. We're just watching Rory swing plane and making, you know, watching his weight transfer. And I was telling Gio, I said, you know, at the start of your approach to your golf ball, you want to be 60-40 on your back foot. And what was on the screen?
60-40 with Rory. 60-40.
60-40, man. And then 72-28 at impact. Front foot.
I'll see if I can get to that 70-28.
72-28.
Yep. Since we can skip around a little bit.
Skip around, Jerry? We've been doing this all morning.
We have.
We have been.
That is very true.
How you doing?
I don't have to do the 9:30 if you want. I could always just get ready for 10.
I want to know how you're doing today.
I'm good. Would you like the nominees for the 2025 Sports Emmys for personality/play-by-play?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple. Mike Breen.
Yeah.
Joe Davis.
No.
Mike Tirico.
Okay.
Ian Eagle.
Mm.
And Noah Eagle.
Oh, wow. Hope Noah gets it.
How about that?
Man, oh, man.
Head to head with Dad.
I mean, if you're Ian, you probably want your kid to win, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
No. I think he wants his kid
to win. He's 28. He's got plenty of time.
I'm thinking he wants.
I don't think you'd be upset if his son won. Of course he wouldn't. You still want to win as a competitor.
Well, I think Noah's got a little bit more range than Ian. Because he did Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
Ian's done everything.
Yeah, but he didn't do Nickelodeon.
Ian has done Ian's done Nickelodeon.
He has not done Nickelodeon.
No, Ian and Noah hasn't done video games.
What about Kenny
yet.
Albert? Kenny Albert does everything.
Yeah, he's not on this list.
Not on the list.
He does everything.
He does do everything. That is very true.
He can do a dog show.
Matter of fact, he might have done the dog show.
He probably did do a dog show.
The Westminster at MSG. You never know. Knicks did lose. Kristaps Porzingis coming back to burn his team.
Derek White spins to his
former
left.
Team.
Floats it back to Porzingis. He's going to take the deep three.
Got it!
Porzingis ain't got fouled then.
Eighth of the night for Porzingis. Celtics by three.
How about that? Did you think he was that good when you drafted him and you let him go?
Well, you know, we were hoping that he was going to be that good, but he wasn't going to spend 10 years with us.
Mm.
He was a pain in the ass when he was here.
34 points, 8 of 13 shooting.
He was a child.
Shooting.
He was immature.
Yeah, he had that brother who was a problem.
Yeah.
That's right. I do remember that.
Can you ever take a look at Jokic's brothers? Like, actually take a look at them?
Not really, no.
They are humongous. I mean, obviously he is.
Yeah.
But, like, one of them's like a big bodybuilder guy. Huge muscles. He's one of the scariest guys I've ever seen. Tattoos all over him.
That's why he doesn't give a crap about anything.
Yeah. God, you don't want to fight those guys.
And they got, speaking of him, so here's Michael Malone. Maybe, you know, you said earlier, maybe they went to him and said, what do you think about Malone? And he didn't give a crap. I don't know. This was Malone a couple of weeks ago going after his team for not defending. He was fired yesterday.
It was a brutally honest message. And the guys that are full won't hear it. You know, they'll say coach is tripping. And the guys that maybe do really care will, because they don't want, they're not going to go back and watch their minutes because nobody watches their minutes. Nobody watches film. So we'll have to show them the film.
That's the craziest part of it, that they're not even bothering to watch film if that
is
indeed
the case.
Unless the
coaches bring it up to them. That's the thing.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, as a quarterback, we couldn't wait to watch the tape. Good or bad, wanting to know what the answers were, especially if you threw a bad interception or something, you'd really want to know why, or maybe a play that worked for some reason. I mean, I remember getting, you know, not early on because we didn't have the ability to do that, but later on in my career, you know, within a day, I'd have the entire game, you know, on a VHS cassette.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's right to your iPad.
Immediately, probably, right?
Yes.
By the time the game's over.
A lot of guys are, I've been told, I haven't seen it myself, but a lot of guys are watching the tape of the game, you know, on the plane ride back if they, you know, they're trying to kill some time and they just want to watch the replay.
I do know with Rutgers, the coaches are right on it immediately.
Coaches
on the plane.
Are. The question is,
no doubt.
You know, and you want the players to be on it because you want them to be great and you want them to learn.
So the Knicks lost, fine, fair. They're 50-29. The Nets beat the Pelicans. Okay, great. You've got the Lakers and the Mavericks in Dallas tonight, so that should be interesting as Luka is going back there. Last night he was ejected. There's some discrepancy over why. The official thinks he was yelling at him. Luka is saying, no, it was the fan who was chirping, and I was chirping back.
You can see it, that happened. But, you know, I never got a fan ejected, never. But if he's going to talk, I'm going to talk back like always. So that had nothing to do with the ref, so I didn't really understand.
Well, they completely disagreed with him, and that's kind of the way that went. So what can you say? I got a couple of things here from, not Victor, Bernhard Langer, who spoke. So I guess he made the announcement. So we got the Masters starting tomorrow, Thursday. And for Langer, this is it. And as you can tell, not easy for him.
Very emotional. You can tell already my voice is breaking a bit. Just realizing it's going to be my last competitive Masters after, you know, 4 decades. It's going to be bittersweet.
He,
Yeah, don't bet on him, man.
He's probably 60.
Well, he said it was him that made the decision.
A few years back, I asked the chairman of the club, is there a time limit? You know, is there like, do we age out when we're 60 or what is it? And he said, no, you will know when it's time.
And, well, here's how he knew.
The course is just getting too long, and I'm getting shorter and shorter, and I'm hitting hybrids where the other kids hit 9 irons and 8 irons, maybe wedges. So I knew I wasn't going to be in contention anymore.
And so he's stepping away. Now, yeah. Freddie Couples is what, 65?
Yeah, it's too bad they don't let those guys play from the white tees.
That's not the way it works. Well,
for a member guest, or, you know, you're playing in your club championship, you play at your age, you play from the white tees.
Well, that's not that. That's not how this goes.
You play from the tip.
See, but if you really wanted to make it interesting, do it that way.
Yeah, just move them right up.
Depending on your age.
And I don't know this. I know Angel Cabrera won the Champions Tour event this week. I don't watch it nearly enough. What is the distance reduction is what for a tournament like that?
I bet you they're probably still playing about 62 to 6,300, I would imagine.
So significant, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, nothing crazy, but now playing 7,000 yards.
That's right, or 8,000 in some cases now, 7,800. Bruins beat the Devils 7-2. The Islanders led 6-4 in Nashville. With a couple minutes to go, then it was 6-6, and then an overtime.
Brady Shea now will calm things down and then swerve into the Islanders' end. Saucers one out. Here's a chance for Svechkov, and he scores! Center Svechkov completes a 7-6 come-from-behind win in overtime for Nashville.
And that was Brendan Burke with the call on MSG. You would think the craziest comeback win of the night. It was not, though. The Canucks were trailing the Stars 5-2 with a minute to go. Scored 3 times in the final minute of regulation, then won in overtime by the score of 6-5. And that was in Dallas, too. So tough night for them. And the Rangers take on the Flyers coming up later tonight. All right, moment of the day. So while discussing Ian Hamilton of the Yankees and his mouth infection, which sounds weird, I know.
And his mouth infection.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Gio did wonder out loud.
Did you have anything so far in your life you would have died from if you were a caveman?
If I was a caveman?
Yeah, I was thinking that my gallbladder surgery, like I probably would have died
you your
from
life.
That.
You probably would have died.
Yeah. Can you die from kidney? Well, probably not. Well, I had a kidney stone. They had a blast. If that, I don't know if I could have passed it. Can you die from kidney stone blockage?
Caveman Jerry, was that a yes or a no? I'm not sure. Eddie, can you die from kidney stone blockage?
Sure, yeah.
What about your hernia, Al? Do you think that would have killed you back in the day?
Yeah, I had 2 different hernias, one on each side, yeah. I don't know if that would kill you.
Well, maybe you wouldn't have gotten a hernia back then.
Well, he couldn't run after his food then.
That's true.
Bobby approved chickens he was trying to catch. I mean, a lot of other things, you know, could kill you too. Not just disease.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to think, like, would I have made it to 42
But I would think a lot of people probably died from mouth infections.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's why I brought this up. Everything. None of us would be sitting here. We'd
at our ages back probably then. Like 25.
Yeah, just done. See you later.
Meat, meat, meat. There you go. Perfectly timed.
Meat, meat, meat.
Right there. Moment of the day.
Yeah. You know, Boomer loves to needle you with the same stuff over and over again, and then your reaction to that, and that's one of his favorite things. Caveman Jerry is right up there.
I
have a whole imagination of what he looks like, where he lives, the way he walks, his posture.
Perhaps a cartoon in the works.
Yeah, yes. That would be great.
That would be fun.
I mean, like, you've got a club with you, you know, that you have in your hand that you drag around, and you're looking, head's always on a swivel.
And there's a lot of different things that have happened. I could hit a rock with the club off a tree, knock myself out.
Yeah. Yeah, with a mammoth tusk.
That's
never sleeping, just crouching down, looking around to make sure that the saber-toothed tiger doesn't find you and eat you.
Oh, caveman Jerry.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan. So I was looking at this dire wolf, which is... I guess there's some controversy whether or not they really did bring back the dire wolf or not, but there's a biotech company that says it brought back the dire wolf from extinction. And it is, obviously, if this has happened and they've done it, it's remarkable, the science. And then I see who was on the cultural advisory board.
Yeah, he's on everything.
Tom Brady?
But they looked at his hair and they said, man, you redid your hair. Right. Get in here. We need
back
you.
His hair from extinction.
Yes, we need you.
That is unbelievable. This guy, you want to talk, he's really, literally everywhere, this
well,
man.
Well, you got to remember, he is so supremely wealthy and famous at the same time, much like, you know, David Beckham was, Lionel Messi is, you know, you name it, Ronaldo, Max Verstappen, you name any of these top end-up athletes that run in these kind of circles. And they have these family offices that basically control a lot of their money and create a lot of investment opportunities. And why wouldn't you, if you were this particular biotech company or bioscience company, want Tom Brady on your board?
Yeah, and
kind of interesting. And, you know, Tom's a pretty bright guy. And, you know, I'm sure it's interesting sitting in on the meetings if, in fact, he is an active board member.
Yeah, I mean, I was all excited about this. And I see that there's these other scientists because, you know, scientists like to fight with each other. You know, the scientists are like, oh, yeah, we did something first. No, you didn't. It's not possible. We are the scientists over here that say our science is correct. Well, our science is not.
It's like actors fighting with each other. It's like athletes fighting with each other.
It's a little bit different
sports
here.
Sports talk show hosts fighting with each other.
I totally disagree. I think that the scientists are a totally different thing when the scientists fight with each other. Because the scientists, like, it's like, is the science real or not real?
Like when you're talking about vaccinations?
No, when I'm
is
talking about
fighting back and forth over
well,
that.
Well, that's one of them. Yeah,
are they effective? Are they not effective? Mm. Why are they here? Why do we need them? Do we need them? Are they really doing what they're supposed to be doing? Yes.
So I guess there's some scientists that say that these direwolf pups that they have brought back from extinction.
Yep.
They're so similar to gray wolves that it's not really bringing back the direwolf. But I mean, whatever. I was all jacked up about this. I'm hoping that this is actually what's going on. Because then it opens up all sorts of possibilities, you know?
Jurassic Park 3.
I mean, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I don't think we have, because that was like from a mosquito that sucked the blood of one of the dinosaurs that they got out.
Yeah.
They were able to get, but I don't know.
Do you
like,
think you could bring back Abe Lincoln?
Huh. I mean, in theory, I guess. This is when Eddie walks out, of course.
Yeah, of course. He's not there, yes.
I guess.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I guess you could.
Kind of thinking forward.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Well, I guess you could bring back the genetic form of Abe Lincoln. Can you bring his brain back with him?
It's a great question. I don't know.
So these direwolves.
Right.
They're claiming that they are. Well, they had to use something to get it to this point, though.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it was another wolf that they had was a surrogate.
Like they had to mix in something.
Well, I would imagine, right? Is that how they did it? I'm reading about it now, the rest of this. But yeah. Is that who you'd bring back as Abe Lincoln?
I don't know. I just said him.
That is wild to think about that. I know there's all sorts of like regulations and stuff that this won't be a wild, wild west situation. But like
imagine I don't know. With AI and all these automated aspects of our society now coming fast and furious.
Like a baseball.
Eddie's going to chop his head off when he dies, right? And that.
Yeah. No, that not, chop, doing, Eddie, no, not chop his head off. No. Cryogenically frozen.
Yes. Are you going to freeze yourself? Your whole body.
Well, if the technology exists, which it, you know, it's sketchy at this point.
Yeah.
Or maybe just upload my brain into some sort of computer.
Yeah. That's a possibility for sure.
You know, if we could do that and leave it here when you take off, that would be
perfect. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say, like, down the road, we have this technology. Like, the Mets have a, you know, a catching problem in their farm system, and they decide to bring back Mike Piazza. And then, like, we have a little baby Mike Piazza is born. And they're like, listen, in 20-something years.
We'll cultivate him.
He'll be, right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Tom Seaver.
Yeah. Bring back, I mean, you could. It would deceive the families would be like, I don't want to do that. But, I mean, do you believe, Eddie, that the technology exists or will exist soon where you actually could bring back a historical figure and then have him born or her born again?
Other than the direwolf.
If you have it's not exactly a direwolf, but if you have a good enough DNA sample then and you can grow the body, sure. But then is it the person? Then you're getting into the question of souls and, you know, then it gets
right.
Sketchy.
So we could bring back Abe Lincoln. We're just not sure about the brain.
Well, the brain would be there.
Yeah.
But whatever made him Abe Lincoln, his life experiences, that's can't be wrong.
We should probably just start with Ted Williams. Shouldn't we just start with Ted Williams?
What's that now?
Shouldn't we just start with Ted Williams?
Yeah, I mean, his head is frozen somewhere, supposedly.
Right. I mean, the idea of that, what a great, like, movie script that they try to bring back some historical figure, but the world is so screwed up now that they just fall into the trappings of it, and it's just some kid who's hanging outside 7-Eleven popping Zins and looking at Snapchat.
You know?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, like, Lincoln would be like, slavery? Let me get Bitcoin.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I just think there's too much going on there, like you said. And by the way, so why you?
By the way, who's warming up at the
that's
in the
Cam, that's Cam Smith.
Cam Smith warming up with a sport coat on.
Yeah,
is that what he does now? Is that his thing?
He went to live. I don't know, but that's what he's wearing right now. He's got a sport coat on.
Look at him. Guy gets his teeth fixed.
He's Australian. I don't think he cares. You said it's not really a dire wolf. We were talking about that when you're getting the podcast stuff ready. So it's because there's gray wolf or something
in it? Yeah, well, they spiced in, you know. Yeah. But they wanted to make the dire wolf traits more prominent. But it's not exactly, of course. But they have a lot of DNA of dire wolves because of the La Brea tar pits out in Los Angeles.
What else is in there, La Brea tar pits?
Saber-tooth cats.
Mm, see, you got it. That's something you
Smilodon,
need.
I think.
The Smilodon. We got to bring back a saber-tooth tiger.
Mammoths, and they're talking about mammoths, bringing mammoths back. Also, the passenger pigeon.
But, like, you bring back a woolly mammoth back, that's just to be effing around. Like,
well, that's
no...
asking for trouble because it's such a large thing. But a wolf, another wolf species in these western areas would help the ecosystem.
And you're a big megafauna guy.
Yes.
What would you bring back if you could? Just anything, not talking about what type of damage it would do.
Okay. I would. Dinosaurs would be really cool.
Yeah.
But not in reality, of course, because there'd be a lot of ramifications.
Yeah, it's like a brontosaurus or a brachiosaurus. You know, a little leaf eater with a long neck. You're just trouncing around somewhere.
No, you need fine. Apex predators, yeah.
Yeah. All right, it's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Give him a sports minute. We'll hand it over to our own apex predators, BT and Sal.
All right. You know what? I'm going to need a couple days off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.